The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Sports Talk 1240 WGBB in Long Island. It is July 19th, and we had a special show today. As you hear Fetty Wap 679 in the background, it's AM 1240 WGBB. We got Jake Brown here. We have the pastor, Charles Jenkins. I'm just kidding. I almost brought on the first pastor in the history of sports radio, but I chose not to do that. It is the Hofstra legend. Let me give you an epic intro here, Charles. We got three-time Haggerty Award winner, the all-time leading scorer in the history of Hofstra Pride basketball, and the second all-time scorer in CA history behind the Admiral, David Robinson. Number 22 in the rafters at Hofstra, at the MAC. He's a two-time CA Player of the Year and a Chip Hilton Player of the Year. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds nice. It is Charles Jenkins at the Jenkins Guy. 22. You know he played 2 years in the NBA with the Golden State Warriors and the Philadelphia 76ers, and he's just coming off 2 years in Serbia, and he will tell you that there are no bombs being dropped in Serbia. There's human life. There's everything going on there. It is a good spot to be, and now he's heading to Italy to play for Olympia Milano. It is Charles Jenkins. Charles, what's going on? How you doing?
Ain't nothing much, man. What's up?
He's back in New York from Queens. Originally from Brooklyn, right?
I was born in Brooklyn, yeah.
What part of Brooklyn?
Brownsville, Brooklyn.
Brownsville, Brooklyn.
Yeah, I lived there for like 6 years, and then I moved to Queens.
Rosedale, right?
Yep.
All right. And now, all right, so you're doing a lot of tweeting and posting with, I don't know if it's in Serbian, I can't read any of it. What was the team name? I know it's the Belgrade Red Star, but what is the team name? Because we have a lot of Serbian listeners that will be listening to this podcast tomorrow. What is it, 3 a.m. there right now? Yeah. What is the team name?
Cervena Zvezda.
Cervena Zvezda.
Yeah, it means red star. Cervena's red.
And now you are called Jenka.
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
Jenka is a Serbian movie star. And my first week when I actually played there, my roommate was the captain of the team, and he kind of just put my name, my last name Jenkins, and Jenka together. And Jenka's actually there. DJ is the same as saying Jay, so they kind of played around with it for once, and I actually joked around on media day and said it, and it stuck ever since.
So basically, you are going to be a future Serbian actor, maybe a little off-Broadway work. Can you sing at all? Can you rap anything?
Nah, I can't sing or rap.
Damn. All right, but I can see future or passer. I mean, shout out Rob Cowell, who made the just awful mistake of putting the Periscope picture of Pastor Jenkins, thinking that I would have a pastor on here and a sports show, but we have Charles here. And you know what? He's going to Italy 10 days ago. Have you been on a show or anything yet? Is this like the inaugural?
This is the first and the last show of the summer for me.
This is big. So, and he chose to do it with me. A source for Mets information here in the United States. It's a struggle over there trying to catch Mets baseball. Nobody watches baseball, right?
Nah, no one watches baseball. It comes on too late for me also.
And they barely watched the Super Bowl, you said. They said they weren't even looking.
Nah, no one.
Yeah, so this is the time here. Now, what's the team name? Is it Olympia Milano?
Yeah, Milano. Giorgio Armani is the sponsor of the team, mm-hmm. and Olympia is the team that he has.
And tell me about what you know about this team and going there. Obviously, Italy, it's going to be awesome. You got the food there. You got the ladies there. Let's be real. The money's going to be more in Italy than it is Serbia. But everything there seems like it's going to be a good fit for you, despite you. Obviously, you're going to miss Serbia. You're going to miss the loyal fans there and all that. But tell us what you know so far about this team. You told me it's the best team in Italy, right?
Yeah, well, the best team in Italy. They're coming off a rough year. They didn't win as they are expected to every year. For the basketball aspect of it, that's as much as I know. For me, I'm going in there blind to whatever happened in the past and just open-minded, you know, to whatever's going to happen and I'm going to be a part of in the future. So I don't know much about the city, never been there. We didn't play there. We didn't play against them. But from just following basketball as a fan, I know they had a really good team last year that just fell short.
Who do you know on that team? Do you know anyone?
No one, actually. Played against one of the dudes they signed. Two of the dudes they signed. Mm-hmm. One of the dudes is Milan Machvan. He played in Belgrade with the rival team. So I played against him last year. Don't know him personally, but definitely know a lot about him as far as how he plays just because of playing against him.
So do they have any other American guys on the scene?
Yeah, a dude, Jamel McLean. He played for Alba Berlin. And
where did he
Oliver,
go to school? He went to Marquette?
I don't know.
Jamel McLean.
Oliver Lafayette, he played in Greece, Olympiacos. Yeah. So I think those would be the three Americans.
What are you looking forward to most about leaving Serbia for Italy?
Just a change in culture. It's always good to, you know, be in Europe and compare your culture, the way you do things to, you know, the way things are done in other places, and just being open-minded to seeing things, seeing new places, how things are ran there, how the organization is, just normal basketball things.
Sports Talk 1240, Charles Jenkins here. We got the Periscope over there, somehow still alive on that water cooler. We got Alex Pineda here doing social media, Sports Talk 1240 on Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, Facebook, every social, LinkedIn, wherever you find it, at Jake Brown Radio, and all Hofstra in the building. Literally four Hofstra people are in the building right now. And I'll actually announce this week my new show, and I haven't said anything about it because it's not official, but a new CBS podcast. And you heard Fetty Wap start it off. He will likely be our first guest in studio, and you will hear a rap battle between me and Fetty Wap. That will be happening, and it's going to be legendary. And I think I have a shot to at least compete with Fetty. So I'm calling shots at you, Fetty. So that's going to be coming. I'm not going to say what it's going to be called, but I'll say this, and some people don't know. It will be another Hofstra alum doing the show with me. He is a multimedia personality. That's going to be huge, so watch out for that. No more Ben Troop. I left him, and we have a new guy. So, Sports Talk 1240, Charles Jenkins. All right, so you leave Serbia. What's your message to the people in Serbia? Because I got tweets from people saying, I love this guy. There's people you've told me that would die for you, essentially. What's your message to the people in Serbia who are holding their head in their hands, just crying right now that Jenka is leaving them? Just give a message to all those people.
I mean, I think they all know, you know, just from the how much they know how much I feel about them. Even when I signed to Milano, I wrote a really deep letter that I really felt a lot of emotions going through my body when I was writing it, just because I know how big of a support system that they have for me there. They know, you know, they know. For me, I always say that they saved me, you know. Finishing my second year pro, I didn't have much places to go. I didn't have a list of teams I had to choose from and say, you know, I want to go here, I want to go there, just like you would see in the free agent offseason. And Serbia was a place that looked out for me. You know, I had one team in Italy, another team somewhere else, I can't remember, but I remember Red Star coming in and basically expressing how much interest they had in me. And it changed my career. You know, a lot of people think about the NBA, and if you don't play here, you know, you're a failure. But, you know, I was able to go into a culture where they, you know, took me in as their brother. You know, you hear people when they talk to me, they call me king. They call me master. You know, they call me their brother. They call me their son. You know, people really care about me there. So, I mean, they know how much I feel about them. The feeling is definitely the same. Even if I'm here and I see a Serbian, it's weird to know that I play all the way over here, and there's Serbians that live in New York that know what I do over there. So it's, they know how I feel about
that. So you see Serbians here, and they'll be like, it's Jenka. That's,
I mean, they
that
know.
Happens?
It's, I mean, Serbia is a small place, but, you know, everyone's family. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
has that happened since you've been? How long have you been back in New York? A couple weeks?
I've been home for, I got home July 20th. June 20th, actually. Yeah.
And you've seen people, and they've said, hey, what's up?
I mean, I've been in Serbia so long that, you know, I've found, yeah, we actually went to a place and ate some Serbian food a few days ago. So, I mean,
what is Serbian food? Like, what do you eat from Serbia?
Yeah, I think I need to break down.
Yeah, explain Serbia to the people
Serbia,
like me who don't
you know
anything about it.
People just think Serbia is a war zone and it's cold. There's no there's no heat and people are just fighting outside. Serbia, well, I played in Belgrade. Serbia as a whole is a beautiful place. There's a lot of things that are done on the river as far as you can eat on the river. There's nightclubs on, like, not a boat, but kind of like being on your own water when you're partying for the most part, especially in the summertime. Serbian food is, I mean, if I was to put a Serbian dish in front of you, you would say, okay, this is chicken and this is chicken and rice, because that's what you're immune to saying. But just some of their foods have different names, like there's a meal called Juvic. To you, it's rice, vegetables, and chicken all in one. So that's what you would see. That's what you would say it is, because that's what you see. But in there, it's called Juvic. They have food sarma, which is cabbage wrapped with some type of meat inside. Podvarak, which is a cabbage, and it has meat inside. I mean, the food is not bad. I lived there 2 years. The food is not bad at all. It's not. Believe me. I don't know what vision you have.
I'm a picky eater,
I don't know what vision you have in your head.
I'm like pizza, fried chicken, and that's like it.
I don't know what vision you have in your head, but if you're open-minded to trying new things, it's not bad at all. It's not. It's cooked. It's not it's not
so what's your favorite meal there?
My favorite meal is povarok. I actually had a chef that was there. She used to cook for me every day. So, I mean, when she made it, I had to make sure I had space in between games because it's really heavy. And when I did eat it, I ate it in small portions, but it's really good.
I could safely say I'll probably never go to Serbia. No offense to the country or anything.
There's a Serbian restaurant in New York City. It's called Kafana. I will take you there.
All right.
So I want you to see it. I want you to see it. You have to see it, because this. I need you to just.
I'm on a radio budget
experience.
Right now.
Like, look, this is Serbian food. It's not bad at all. You know.
All right. Well, I'll give it a try. But you could say Italy. You're looking forward to the food there. I mean. The best. There's no food better than Italian. I don't care what you are. Italian. Am I right? Alex, am I right? That's true. Spanish food. A lot of people are going to hate me after hearing this. All right. So now here's the thing that doesn't make sense to me. You said after your second year in the NBA, you didn't have a lot of interest from teams. Your first year, you got a lot of chances to play. Second year, not in a great position when they got Jared Jack. They brought in, they had Brandon Rush. He got hurt, though. You weren't the backup anymore. First year, you started 28 games. You had a 28-point game versus Portland. You had some big moments. You turned into a pretty good passer. Why wasn't there the interest that you should have got after that second year? Were you not in a great spot when you went to Philly? What's the reason that there weren't many teams?
I mean, the NBA is a business at the end of the day, and you're as good as your opportunity. My opportunity my first year was great. You know, I was on the floor. I was able to make mistakes and play through them. And coming into the Warriors the second year, which was, you know, a team that's looking to, you know, change the culture and the way things that were done, you know, I had to, you know, take a back seat. You know, not to say that I didn't get an opportunity from them, because my second year I played in a decent amount of games, and I was playing the shooting guard at 6 feet tall in the NBA, which is, you don't see that often.
Never,
so,
yeah.
I mean, my opportunity was really good there. And I ended up getting traded for me and myself and Jeremy Tyler got traded my second year.
Who did you get traded for? I'm trying to remember.
It was some type of, I don't know, some money. It was a money thing.
Salary dump,
something like that. So I ended up going to Philly. And, I mean, half of the season with a team that was, you know, trying to make the playoffs. They was, you know, 6 or 7 games out of 8th place and trying to make the playoffs. And a new dude that I wasn't like a household name or anything. I mean, my opportunity was short. And going into the off season, I was able to see two different sides of the NBA playing 2 years. And my agent called me as far as, let's look forward to, you know, what we're doing next, where we're going to go next. Do we want to go to training camp? Do we want to go to summer league? Do we want to do this? And for me, I'm a competitor. I work on my game all the time. And after, you know, being in the situation where I played because someone was hurt, and then being the next year playing a little bit because just I didn't fit, you know, and where they were going, you know, I told them, you know, don't second look Europe. You know, make Europe a priority. You know, let's see who wants me out there. I mean, every basketball player can tell you that's the best feeling when a team wants you. You know what I mean? So we did that, and he let it be known, you know, in the basketball world that, you know, Europe was an option, and that's why I rest on him.
And tell me, because you have an interesting perspective on summer league. You chose not to go to summer league. You had a chance this year. You've been offered, correct? You told me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why not summer league?
I mean, if you look at summer league, honestly, and you see the bench, you look at a summer league team and you will see 15 players on an NBA roster on a summer league team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say for example, my second year in the NBA. Mm-hmm. That summer, we had a full roster of players, right? It was one spot open. So you got 15 players on the court, five different positions, competing for one spot. That's impossible.
Yeah, that's
so you going? So this is what you're doing. You're playing hard to get an invite to a camp where it's going to be other dudes there, another five or six dudes there, competing for one spot. And in the NBA, every point guard is the most important position in the NBA. And that's due to my height. That's my position.
Yeah.
When I'm going places, you know what I mean? So it's a smart thing, you know what I mean? I know it looks great that you're playing in the summer league and you're trying to make a team, but it don't make sense to me, you know what I mean? And my agent know how I feel about it, and you know, when the summer comes up, we don't even look.
It's not even an option.
It's not an option. It's an option. I can play. I can go there and play. You know what I mean? If I want to go and be there.
What is the money like summer league?
I mean, you're going to get a free room,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to give you a per
diem.
You're
in Vegas, which
isn't
bad.
You're in Las Vegas, you can get per diem. So mm-hmm. you get money for the day. You get money to – I mean, some teams give you the money for the whole trip,
mm-hmm.
or there's teams that give you – you know, they give you money by the day. So,
stipend, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good if you want to be there. But
you're better than those guys you're playing behind. And as a competitor and a guy who was a star in college, you weren't trying to play off the bench in summer league.
I mean, my first year I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at summer league, I mean, there's a game tonight. Look at the roster, right?
Mm-hmm.
And look at the players that are on the bench that's not playing. They're really good players. Dudes that can probably play if they get an opportunity,
mm-hmm.
but just for a certain reason that they won't play. Like, for example, if we drafted a guy, this is who we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We don't want to see this dude that's on the end of the bench mm-hmm. that could play. We want to see who we just picked. He got to play. He got to get used to the system. He got to get used to the style of play. That's just how it works. It makes sense though. It's like I'm investing my money in this dude, so why would this dude play? It's just, and the NBA is 60 new players every year. 60 new players I need to
so
be invested in.
Italy won't let you play summer league and then go to Italy? Is that not part of the contract?
I have that option.
Okay,
that
you just chose not summer. To. Yeah,
I was just curious. I mean, I know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a pointless, you know, trip to Vegas playing
mm-hmm.
and all of that, where I already know where the next 10 months of my career is going to be.
Now, okay, so what about your time in the league? You're playing behind a guy like Steph Curry, and the progress that you've seen Steph Curry have over these years, and now he goes and wins the title, and it was the MVP. Did you see that coming? Did you see the Warriors taking that next step? Because we know how stacked that Western Conference is. Just talk about playing with Steph and just his progression over the years.
I saw it a lot more his second year. You know, first year was my first year there was a real tough season for him. I mean, he really was, you know, some games you would see a lot of flashes, but you know, his ankle kind of set him back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, games that he was there, you could see how he made players better. You could see how effective he was on the court. But it was like, you know, every few games he would tweak an ankle or something to happen, and eventually they decided to shut him down and get him ready for the next season, mm-hmm. which was a great thing for them because, you know, the second season, you know, they made the playoffs and he started playing well. But, I mean, that summer, I mean, I was around him a lot, you know, he flew me out to North Carolina, and we worked out together. So I was able to see how he worked and, you know, his mindset coming into the season, how he really wanted to play and compete.
He flew you out to Carolina. You guys hung out in Carolina.
Yeah.
You met his family
and everything? It was just a weekend. Oh. It was nothing. Right. We just went there, worked out, us and me, him and a few other players. And that was good for me because of who he was, you know, who he is. And you could just see how hard he worked. You know, when you work out with players, I mean, for me, when I work out with players, I want to see, you know, how they get mentally prepared for their workouts. You know what I mean? He's someone that's locked in all the time. It's not much joking. You know, it's everything is game-like. So
that's got to be a cool feeling, guys you played with winning a title this year, right?
Yeah, it's big time. You know,
I know
some people probably expect me to have, like, a bitter taste or a bitter feeling.
You got to be proud.
You know, I was definitely happy for them. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to win, you know, from the beginning of the season. I've been following, you know, everything they've done and trying to stay up late and watch some of their games. So, you know, it was big for them to win.
And what guys in the league are you still talking with now?
The core group of the Warriors. Mm-hmm. I mean, Clay. Still talk to Clay. I spoke to Clay yesterday. Draymond, Festus, Harrison. Those are the guys that I was there with, Kent Bazemore. Mm-hmm.
CA product.
Nate Robinson here and there, Jared Jack. You know, I still Darrell Wright. Darrell Wright is a real, real good friend of mine. Royal Ivy. You know, I still got a good core group of guys that I talk to.
You ever see these guys?
Not really. I mean, I'm kind of like a. I don't really get out much. You know, I just stick to what I just do what I need to do. But I mean, from a, if we were to run into each other, it'll be like, you know, we see each other every day because we talk often.
Charles Jenkins at the Jenkins Guy 22 on Twitter and Instagram. Jake Brown Radio here on Twitter and Instagram. We got Alex Pineda here. Sports Talk 1240. You hear to and listen on Periscope and AM 1240 WGBB. The podcast for all you Serbians, all you Italians, will be up tomorrow. SportsTalk1240.com.
Send this to my Serbs, man.
Yeah, and it'll be on iTunes, Sports Talk 1240, JakeRyanBrown.com, all that. If you can't find it, you ain't looking. Sunday, July 19th, our Mets got a victory today in 18 innings. They're two games out of the playoffs. We'll get into that in the second half of the show.
You told me that.
I did. I am the source of Mets information. I feel like a reporter. It feels great. But, yeah, I can't imagine baseballs on the front pages over there in Serbia. But you know what? Italy is going to be a remarkable opportunity. Now, say you kill it over there in Italy. Say you're averaging 15, 20 points a game, and the NBA comes calling. Are you going back if it's the right situation?
It has to be the right situation for me.
Mm-hmm.
It just has to be. It can't be anything else. It can't be a shot in the dark opportunity to do something. It got to be something that guaranteed. You just have to.
So it's got to be a guaranteed contract. If you get that, you're going back.
I signed a 1+1 in Italy anyway, so that would be the only way.
So you have a one-year deal with a second-year option?
Yeah, second-year option, yeah.
So okay. All right. So do you predict that you'll be starting in Italy or no?
If I had to say right now, I mean, I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new coach. I actually played against – we actually beat his team in the finals in Serbia. So he knows me really well, but I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know the roster. I don't know the players. I don't know anything. I'll know everything next month.
You don't even know when you're going yet?
No, not yet.
All right. When does the season start? Do you know? October?
The season starts middle of October. Training camp is normally – half of August, all of September, and like a little bit of October, and then everything starts.
So this is all new to you. You said Serbia, there's only two teams? Is that right?
I mean, it's not two teams in Serbia. It's a lot of teams, but when it comes to like, you know, when it's like the finals,
the semifinals,
it's normally the same four teams in that you're going to see in the finals and semifinals.
And you won two titles and two cups. What are cups? What does that mean?
A cup is like...
It's not a World Cup.
Nah, it's not like that. I mean, every country has a cup. And it's like, it's in February, it's like the best teams in the country play, and they compete in 3 days, a week in February. So last year I won the second one that the club won, second year in a row, and this year I won a third in a row.
And you watch videos. If you Google or YouTube Charles Jenkins, you'll see these videos. Just tell me about the fans there, because it is like the Warriors crowd times 10 there. I mean, people, do they just have just huge drinking parties like before and just outside just getting wasted? Because I've never seen someone with so much energy. Everyone there screaming, you're beating your chest, you're like KG, you're beating your chest all over the place, and the crowd is just going bananas, chanting your name. What is that like? I mean, because sure, the Mac was great. We packed the Mac sometimes. I was running down the aisles when you hit those two buzzer beaters versus whoever it was, William and Mary. But, I mean, this takes it to a whole nother level.
I mean, they're definitely outside before the game, but it's not the same as, like, you know, being at an arena in the States and you can go – buy beer, and it's not like that. You know, it's kind of like this is their natural energy. You know, whatever you see at the game, that's what they. This is how all Serbians are, and they're passionate about winning. You know, I think Serbia is a really competitive country. You know, once you play there, you know, you're Serbian. You know, for the rest of your life, and they really care about everything their players do. They care about you. Get one day, one time, I tweeted late, and I got like a passionate message from a fan, like, you know, you should be in bed. We need you this week. You know what I mean? It's
really?
Like that. So.
Oh.
Everybody has that mindset, you know, when it comes to playing. So that's why you see the fans so passionate about it. And they're really, really competitive people. But the atmosphere is different. I mean,
every game. It's like
you look at it on YouTube, you know. But when you playing in it, it's a lot different. You know, like how you can feel the floor shaking, or you can see, you know, a kid, you know, just as passionate as an old man, or you can see a dude 80 or 60 years old just as passionate as a 20-year-old dude. You know, that's one of the reasons why when you see me play, I'm so passionate out there, because if a dude that's 70, 60 years old can get out of his bed and scream and cheer for me, you know, how can I not, you know, give him the same energy back?
Yeah, that, you know what I mean? Just, oh my God, it's like a soccer game, it's like a World Cup.
Yeah, it's like a soccer game, just in a smaller gym.
Is it going to be like that in Italy, you think?
Italy's like that. I don't think it's the same. I think the fans are, the fans are fans, but I don't think it's, as far as like the environment, how Belgrade is, I don't think it's the same.
I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing if they could come anywhere close to that.
I don't think any
yeah, no one can. Oh my God! All right, we got to take a break, but we're going to come back, talk more with Charles, and we'll get why is there an echo right now? You hear that? There's a little echo. We'll talk more with Charles about his career. We'll also talk Mets baseball. Who are the Mets going to go after in the second half of the season? What are they going to do? Because right now, they're two out, and we want to get to the playoffs this year. No more waiting. And we'll get Charles' thoughts on Porzingis a little bit and the New York Knicks future, and see what happens with the Knicks. Sports Talk 1240 AM, 1240 WGBB. Jake Brown, Charles Jenkins coming up next right after this.
AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB. Or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you can find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
We're back, Sports Talk 1240 AM, 1240 WGBB. We got a packed studio. We got Jake Brown at Jake Brown Radio. We got Charles Jenkins at the Jenkins Guy 22. We got Alex Pineda at Alex M. Pineda on Twitter. Yeah, he likes that. And we got Kelly, a Coster grad of 2011, in the building. And I got to start with this because she's been waiting for it the whole show. The ladies in Serbia. Now, I picture – I'm sorry if any Serbian ladies listening. I kind of picture just ugly girls, just like monsters, like Shrek-looking people. Well, that's probably rude. But what were the girls like in Serbia? Break it down, Charles. Come close to the mic. Let's hear it. Get your smooth voice for the ladies out here.
I mean, it's the women in Serbia are beautiful.
Are they?
They're just like the women you see in New York. There's not any Shrek-looking people, at least none that I've saw. I mean, Serbia I mean, the nightlife there is, you know, it's pretty good. It's not like here with the VIP lines and $50,000 for bottles. It's not like that. Everyone gets in for free, and basically they make money off the bar. So, you know, everyone goes out. It's a good time. It's not the Shrek thing is crazy. It's not like that. And they really care
That's
about
mean. I was
they
mean.
Really care Serious. about their figure. So I mean, a lot of them work out a lot.
So they you really, met some nice really Serbian ladies.
Yeah, I met a lot of people.
No more comments. I guess I can. And do you think that is Italy going to be better? You think?
I don't know.
Ladies, you don't know.
I've never been there.
Are you excited to find out?
Yeah, I'm interested in finding out.
He's watching his mouth right now.
I'm interested in finding out. It's always good to see new people and, you know, meet women, you know, whatever.
What's the drink choice in Serbia? What's the drink preference?
Water. My drink preference is Long Island iced tea.
You pound those?
Yeah. It's not too much. Not like I'm not like falling over drunk, but I mean,
there's had to be times. A long celebration. Come on.
Yeah, of course. Celebrate. Yeah. You know when you win. I mean, listen. There's an alcohol in Serbia. It's called rakia. Now there's two different kinds of rakia you can get. You can go to the store and buy it, and it's really strong. And there's some made with honey. There's some made with plum. But the cook that I had, she's like an authentic Serbian. Like. Old, really older woman, you know, been around. So she makes homemade rakia for me. And when you drink it, it's like burning alcohol. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like the strongest thing you can ever have. So, I mean, maybe that's why you can see the fans so passionate, because they're immune to drinking that.
Do they even have Henny there? Is that a thing?
Yeah, they do.
I know Alex is a big Henny guy. Alex loves his Henny.
They have Hennessy there, but they don't have Patron. There's no Patron. You can't buy it. So if you go there, so normally like one of my teammates was a real big fan of it, and we had a friend that travels a lot. So when he was in town, he would bring it. It's kind of like a bootlegging, I guess.
And Alex tweeting out, "No, they don't look like Shrek." To my comment of the Serbian woman, I feel bad now.
They don't, man. Listen.
But yeah. So okay, and before we actually mention. If you YouTube, don't YouTube it, but if you really have nothing else better to do with your life, you can YouTube Welcome to the Hoff, which is a song I did sophomore year with two friends, Seabash and my friend Ryan Derry. Seabash wrote the line about, "I seen one dude on 22's, Charles Jenkins."
That's sick.
And Charles loved that. And we were thinking about doing a music video, and then we debunked that idea quick. But yes, that was sophomore year. There was no way I was sober when I thought about that. It was over winter break. So I mean, things happen in college that you regret. And I thought it's funny. It's a funny memory. We can't play it now because I dropped a couple F-bombs in the first verse and mentioned drinking and smoking weed. So we're not gonna. This is a community radio station. If it wasn't in the podcast, I curse all I want and talk about whatever, talk about dates I've been on. I can do what I want on that. But this, I got to keep it G-PG. And calling Serbian woman Shrek is already turned into PG-13.
I'll tell you one thing. My following in Serbia is really big, and they're gonna hear this tomorrow. They're gonna look for us.
So you'll be tweeting that out there
once
tomorrow.
once they hear what you think about Serbia.
I'm sorry.
Tweets,
okay,
those
okay.
tweets that you're gonna get tomorrow are gonna
Let
be
Let me
insane.
Apologize. Any Serbian women, follow me on Twitter, DM me if you ever want to meet up. If you don't look like Shrek, we'll make it happen. I live in Astoria, Queens. Work in the city. I mean, if you want a handsome rapping sports radio host, you got him right here. I'm sorry to all you ladies out there. That's bad. Damn, that's gonna put a bad rep on me now. But that's all right. I'm sorry, Serbian woman, you're beautiful. Okay, so now you leave for Italy. You don't even know when yet. So right now you're just working out. What's tell me your daily routine right now? Besides checking Gamecast and seeing the Mets go 6 hours.
Well, I mean, now since I'm a little older, I have to, you know, really train and do everything smarter. So, you know, 2 times a week I lift. And
that's it?
Yeah, just 2 times a week. I mean, I don't need.
I'm
to
talking
do
like I'm
not need
to do
anything more than that. But
what do you bench?
We don't bench in basketball.
Really?
Nah, I mean, you do in college.
What about dumbbells?
In college, I was, you know, up there as far as benching, but since I've been professional, it's not like we have our max day where we're going to see how much through the testosterone.
You don't have a max. You don't know what your max. What would your max be, like 200, 150?
Nah, more than that. I mean, I was more than that. I was almost in the threes when I was in college. So,
okay.
I'm strong enough. But wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. I work out with Chris, Crown Basketball. If you can add Crown Basketball, that would be great. Because mm-hmm. Chris is a really good dude. His workouts are really intense, and it's all basketball related. So I spend most of my summer with him. I used to work out with Jason Hernandez.
Hofstra product, right?
Hofstra product. Of course, Jay is like my brother, but, you know, with Jay and his body of work, you know, it all worked out for him. And he got a job with the Orlando Magic last year. So, you know, I can't see him as much, you know. And I got introduced to Chris last summer, and I've been with him ever since. So for the most part, you know, throughout my summer when I work out, it's just with him.
And you'll be going. Are we going to a Mets game this week? Is that happening?
Next week to play the Dodgers.
This week coming up. Sure, this week, Thursday or Friday.
26.
No, today's the 19th.
Yeah.
That's next Sunday. I'm not going to be around next Sunday. I'm going to Cooperstown for the MLB Hall of Fame induction. So you got to check your schedule Thursday or Friday, see if you make it happen.
I know this will be my first game too. I didn't get a chance to go this summer.
Have you been to Citi Field?
No, not this summer.
Have you been? Period.
Citi Field? Of course. We went last year. As soon as I got back.
Well, you threw out the first pitch that one game.
That was horrible, yeah.
It wasn't a strike, right?
It was in the dirt? It was in the dirt. He saved me.
50 cents, though. Oh, my God.
No, it wasn't 50 cents, though. It didn't go that far.
You can't get that bad. That's just embarrassing at that point. And, by the way, 50 cents, everyone thinks he's broke. That was a pure move that most businesses do. And he's not bankrupt. He's got money. He raps about it. He's still got money. So that was a big misconception that he was actually broke. But that's besides the point. So what do you think of the Mets so far? You think this is a playoff team this year from what you've seen?
I mean, I would like to think that, mm-hmm. you know. But, I mean, my motto for being with the Mets, you know, for all the years I've been a fan is that it's a long season. Mm-hmm. And it could be good or bad. You know, in the beginning of the season when we went on that, you know, 12-11 game win streak, it's like, yeah. In the back of my mind, I was saying, you know, it's a long season. And I was sent text messages to Kelly back and forth, like, yeah, you see we won today 11 in a row. And then
so you're a Mets fan.
And then, you know, weeks later, it can change. So, you know, I'm definitely – it takes a lot of pride and a lot of long nights being a Mets fan. But, you know, I'm confident and through my relationship with you and from last season when I keep asking you every season like I do, is this the year? You told me this is the year.
No,
for the playoffs.
I did not say that. That was a lie.
You told me this is the year for the playoffs.
I don't think I said that. I said 85 wins the next year playoffs. I'm pretty sure that's what I said.
So this meaning this year is the playoffs. That was last year when you wrote that.
I said last year that next year they'll be close to the playoffs. I don't remember.
We can't keep being the next season.
I agree. And I think the Mets are a good bat away from being a playoff team. They need to get healthy. The whole team's hurt. David Wright, if he comes back in September, that's a huge acquisition if he could play. And the hope is that they could go get maybe a Justin Upton in the next 2 weeks. The trade deadline's 12 days away. The options really are this. It's Zobrist, Aramis Ramirez, Gene Segura, Carlos Gomez, and Justin Upton. And now those are the guys the Mets are going to go after. I see them getting either Zobrist or Ramirez on the cheap, maybe for a John Neese, who pitched amazing again today. 7 2/3 shutout ball. The Mets win an 18 inning, 6 hours. Another 6 hour game versus the Cardinals. They had a 20 inning game. I think it was back in 2006. And they are two out of first place right now. Charles Jenkins in studio at the Jenkins Guy 22. He's heading to Italy to ball. I want to talk about your time at Hofstra because I didn't mention that. You were basically a guy in Serbia, and you were a guy at Hofstra, really. You were a guy who you had buzzer beaters. You know what? We didn't win a CAA title because let's be real. Is this Southern bias a real thing? I want to hear from you because I was at some of those CAA tournaments, and you guys couldn't get a freaking call for your life. I mean, those refs were just terrible, and you guys were the only team out of New York. Do you think there was a little bit of a bias there? Be real with me now. Don't sugarcoat it.
I mean, I don't think so. Honestly, I mean, the refs can do a lot for a game, but they can't score for you. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't play defense for you, you know, and that's just the honest truth. I mean, there was a lot of teams, every team that won when I was there was all Virginia's teams. I don't know if it was coincidence, but, I mean, it's a part of the game. The refs can't play defense for you.
What is that your one regret of Hofstra not getting to winning CAA title?
Of course, man. Yeah.
You ever look back on that and be like, damn.
I wanted to play in the tournament so bad.
Yeah.
You know, I got all the the individual accolades that you can possibly get as a basketball player and at Hofstra. But, I mean, I never played in the tournament. I never won anything for the school. So, I mean, that's definitely something I wish I could have done.
Who do you still talk to on that team? You got guys like Nat Lester. You got Greg Stanky Leg Washington. Who else you got on there?
I'm the godfather of Greg's daughter.
So, really?
Yeah.
So you have a trust fund set up for that?
I actually spoke to Nat on my way here. I mean, those guys are...
What's he up to?
Those guys are... He's working. No, not playing professional. I don't know if you remember Mike Davis Saab. He played when I was a freshman.
I wasn't there.
That's like my... Mm-hmm. He's like my mentor, man. He really looked out for me when I first got to Hofstra. So, I mean, we're always... Our relationship would be the same. Antoine Agudio here and there. Mm-hmm. And other than that, not many other players.
Is Greg playing still?
Corn, too. I speak to Cornelius Vaughn sometimes. No, Greg don't play. Greg actually hung it up.
Really?
Yeah.
He was in Denmark.
He played in Denmark. And, you know, Greg is my guy. That was my first roommate when I got to Hofstra. We both signed, like, you know, 2 weeks apart or whatever. So I remember he, like, last season he texted me and he's like, you know, I'm thinking about hanging it up.
Quickly.
You know, just coming home and... You know, working, and he was really a big on wanting to start a family, and he did. You know, last year he, you know, got married, and you know he has a beautiful daughter, so you know he's doing really good.
Is there going to be a time where you're going to start a family anytime soon?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Do you want you want kids?
Yeah, of course.
How many kids do you want?
I mean, let's just get one first.
What are you're 26 right now.
26,
right?
Yeah.
So when is that? You're going to take your time for this. Let Italy ride out, see what happens after that 1 or 2 years.
I mean...
And you got no thoughts of the kids at the moment right now?
I mean...
You're still young.
I mean, would I want kids? Yeah, of course. But, I mean, the way my career is, I'm never in the same place. And, I mean, I think the best part of being a parent is being able to see, you know, your child, like small changes in your child. And, you know, my career, it don't allow me to do that.
Exactly.
So, I mean, right now I just have to... No, wait it out. But if it happens, I'll find a way to be the best dad ever.
That's what we want to hear. Like I'm so emotional right now. It's just,
nah, because I mean, Greg is like a real close friend of mine, I actually went to go see him down in Maryland, and you know, seeing him, you know, be a dad, and you know, just certain. I mean, you can ask obvious questions, you know, and that you'll get answers from. But I didn't know, you know, that a baby rolling over on its own is a big deal. You know, for me, because I don't have kids. I'm not around, you know, little babies. I thought the big step was like, you know, crawling, and then walking. Mm-hmm. I didn't know rolling over on your own is a big thing. And when we was on FaceTime, and when I was in Serbia, he just kept the video on the baby, and she rolled over, and I didn't react to it. He was just like, "Did you see that?" And I was like, "See what?" He's like, "She rolled over on her own."
You're like. Big deal.
I yeah, but that's a big deal. And, you know, and that's a part of, you know, that's something like when I'm a dad, I want to be able to see that. I want to see the first time my child roll over. You know, I want to see, you know, things like that. So, I mean, not now, but when it happens, I'll make sure I'm there for all of it.
Now, do we have a question, Alex, coming in here?
Yeah, pretty much. No, we see a lot of guys.
You got a mic here. Alex Pineda, Alex M. Pineda on Twitter. Hofstra alum in the building.
You know, we see a lot of guys who get a chance to go play Division I basketball. And, you know, they throw it away. They think they're going straight to the NBA, and they don't realize that they have a great opportunity to get education. So I really want to know from you, you know, I've heard nothing but great things about you on campus. Everybody at Hofstra loves you, talk about character, stuff like that. So just the value of education, you know, and being a good person.
I mean, see, the reason that I value education so much is because of my dad, you know, and... The fact that when I was young that I had to make sure all my homework was done before I can do anything. And that was always important to him. And, you know, sometimes my best games, you know, he would be more concerned about my next morning in class than what I did on the basketball court. And I think it just carried over. With basketball players, why is everything not valued as much? I mean, you could look at TV. You know, he's a guy. There's guys that you know, are really successful without going to college, you know. So, I mean, some people probably think, you know, I can do that too. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I know that I'm one injury away from not playing again. You know, I've seen players that the most talented dudes that got hurt and been set back, you know. So, I mean, in college I had that chance to, you know, learn as I went on and learn the value, things like that. I was surrounded by a lot of great people. You know, Rachel Peel was a great person at Hofstra for me. You know, actually my senior year when I was a second team all academic, I mentioned her because she was a real, like, really good person, you know, when it came to, you know, my academics and things like that. And Hofstra surrounded me around really good people. So, I mean, it was always good to me. And I was in the communication field for a little bit, and that was great as far as, you know, learning how to talk to people, learning how to be in an open room and do presentations and things like that. So, I mean, I benefited from everything that I had at Hofstra. I mean, Hofstra is not the school where guys come and you're one and done and you're going to an NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, Hofstra is a school where, you know, guys are staying there 4 years. And, you know, what you do in those 4 years is what's going to help you for the rest of your life. So, I mean, one of the biggest things that I had my freshman year was Tom Pokora. You know, I remember he called me in his office one time. And he had like he was telling me about like a tombstone, you know, when someone dies. So he said, on a tombstone, all you see is when they was born and when they die. That's all you see on a tombstone. And you see a dash. And he was asking me, like, what will be your dash? And it called me, like, you know, why am I here? You know what I mean? Because I was young. I wasn't really big on advice. I like to, and when it comes to advice, I like to experience it and then learn. You know what I mean? I don't like you to tell me before. Like, if there's a door, I want to go through the door and see what happens, and then you tell me, you know what I mean? Rather than someone telling me. So, I mean, what he told me that day was, like, something I think of all of my life, my every day in my life. He says, what you do in the dash is what makes you. You know what I mean? Because once you die, it's just when you was born and when you die. But the dash is what you can control. So, you know, I had that mindset from 2006 when I first got the Hofstra, and that's just how I live, you know.
And one of those people you met is sitting to your right there, right?
We met, but we didn't really, like, we weren't as close as we are now. Well,
how often do you guys talk? Was it often?
Let me tell a story.
Your face is getting red.
No, we met once in Hofstra. And it was kind of like I remembered her. I mean, my memory is really good, and I remembered her. And, I mean, of course I tried to talk to her when I was in school, of course. Why wouldn't I? And, you know, it didn't work out.
I think you were the shy type.
And we met 5 years later, and we're cool, really good friends. So she's good.
What made you choose Hofstra over – you had Liberty and St. John's interested. What was it about Hofstra that appealed to you?
Well, in my time, I had a lot of players going to prep school. Like, my senior year, you would see dudes that go, man, I remember this. One of my, like, a good friend of mine, I'm not going to say his name, but guys were going to prep school and reclassifying. So if he was a senior, you can go to prep school and be a junior, mm-hmm. and do two more years of high school. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of guys was doing that. And I was 16 at the time with no schools, I didn't have to get the big crate of letters from schools I had to pick from. It was three schools. It was St. John's, which is a household name, and it was Hofstra. The coach from Hofstra, David Deuce, did a really good job recruiting me. He really did. He was consistent. He came to my school. He checked on my grades. He made sure that even if I didn't go to Hofstra, that my grades and all my core classes would be done, that wherever I went, I'll be able to play and be a part of wherever I went at the time. You know, and that meant a lot to me. You know, loyalty is everything. And I really live by it. And, you know, he did a really good job of recruiting me. I didn't need to visit. I didn't need the hotel room. I didn't need to go to dinner with the coaches.
You didn't need nachos, dizzies, or peeps.
I didn't need the nachos pitch. I didn't need the fake student that tells you, oh, if you come to Hofstra. I didn't need none of that. I just needed to know that I had someone that was going to support me. My dad had a relationship with David Deuce before. And, you know, it all worked out.
When basketball comes to an end, besides a potential actor or a pastor, what do you want to do? And obviously those two probably aren't going to happen. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I just know what I don't want to do. I don't want to be that guy that had everything and now he don't have anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's why, I mean, all my friends that know me, they know that I like to stay in the middle. You know, not too high, not too low. If I could live in the middle for the rest of my life, I'll be that guy. I really don't know. It's a lot of fields and things you can do. I told you about renovating and mm-hmm. renovating apartments and then reselling them. That's something that I've been looking into and, you know, starting to, you know, put some investment in there, a little bit here and there. But, I mean, I have time. You know, I'm at a really good state in my career. And just to get a part of – get some small investments done now, so by the time I'm, you know, ready to, you know, call it quits, hopefully they'll be grown and I'll be, like, making some money from it. But, I mean, from right now, I really don't know.
Isn't there 3 years in the NBA you get a pension in place? Is that right?
I think it's six.
Is it six? I thought it was three.
I think it's six.
Six. All right. Well, I was going to say, if it was three, would you go back to play another year? But six, that's another story. When you were younger, you lost your brother, right?
Yep.
What did that do to your life in terms of your mentality and everything?
And it killed me, man. Mm-hmm. I lost my role model. You know, your dad is your role model, you know? Mm-hmm. But to have an older brother, there's not much of a difference in your age. This is someone that, you know, he's still growing up. You learn it from his mistakes. You know, when he get in trouble, your mom tells you, you see what he did? Mm-hmm. You don't do that. You know what I mean? That's someone that was close to me. So losing him was hard. You know, I lost him in 2001. I was in eighth grade. And I remember, like, not going to school for, like, 2 weeks and then coming back and not caring about anything. You know, like, not, like, just being numb to everything. My grades were bad. I was on the basketball team at the time. I didn't care anything about basketball. I didn't care about school and everything. Everything just happened. Like, the timing was so bad. You know, like, once he was gone, I didn't do anything in school. I didn't care. I didn't want to play sports. I just wanted to be home. And he had a daughter, my niece, so I just wanted to be around her as much as I can. That's the only thing that was my concern when I was that young.
And was that kind of a chip on your shoulder in high school and then Hofstra to make you work a little bit harder at all?
Yeah, I mean, it was, but I met a lot of people in really important. I think my timing as far as meeting people mm-hmm. is really good. You know what I mean? Like, when eighth grade, I had a really good eighth grade teacher that she knew my situation, and she kind of, like, pulled me over and telling me, like, you know, her brother passed away, and her seeing that life goes on and you got to, you know, continue to live. That was big for me as far as getting out of school. Me and Tom Pecora, again, really good dude, man. He lost his first wife. And I remember him telling me about that and him explaining the story. So, you know, it was tough, but I think I met the right people to help me get through it.
All right, we got a couple minutes left. I'm going to do a little rapid fire here. All right. You already don't like the sound of this.
Was it like a yes or no thing?
Well, first thing that comes to your mind. Well, this one I know already, but I find it interesting. Pearl Washington, that was the guy. Was that the guy you looked up to as a player when you were young?
Yeah, because I used to live in Brownsville, and even when I moved from there, I played there a lot. And, you know, they said my game was a lot similar to him as far as, like, old school kind of player. So, you know, he was someone that my dad kind of found some footage of, and I tried to, you know, when I was younger, to just click my game and try to make it like his.
Most influential person in your life?
My dad.
Most influential teammate in your life?
Ooh. Right now? Or
ever?
Ever,
yeah.
Mike Davis Sopp from Hofstra.
Coach?
Tom Pecora.
There's a curveball now. Celebrity crush?
Celebrity crush. Who is my celebrity crush? I don't know.
You gotta have one.
I don't have my celebrity crush. I don't know. I don't really have one. If I had one, I could.
Singer,
it's
actress,
rapid. It would be rapid. I would have one right on my name, right on.
There's gotta be a couple then. Is there like two or three?
Nothing. Nah, not off the top of my head. No.
Favorite rapper.
Favorite rapper, Fab.
Fab, alright.
Yeah.
Favorite artist. Is it still Fab?
Yeah, of course. Fab is my era, that's why.
Favorite actor.
Favorite actor. I can't even stay awake to watch a movie to even answer that. I don't know, I don't have one.
Favorite food.
Favorite food, anything that's chicken.
What kind of chicken? Are you a KFC or Popeyes guy?
Popeyes, house right there, house.
I'm the rare KFC guy.
Right across from Nachos is Hofstra. That's a pop-up.
Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kreme?
Dunkin' Donuts.
What else do I got? Alex, you got anything for me? He's got nothing. Okay, so... All right, so... and oh, okay. Actually, we have 2 minutes left? All right, 2 minutes left. Mets playoffs or not, your final prediction this year?
Mets playoffs.
Playoffs?
Yep.
Porzingis. How good do you think... is he going to be good this year, or is he a three-year, which no one wants to hear, in the waiting kind of guy?
I think he's a three-year in the waiting kind of guy.
So what do you see him putting up this year, like 8-6, something like that?
I mean, if he can do that, that's...
that's good, I guess.
That's above average, but, I mean, he played decent in summer league, but summer league is not the show. The show is it's a really different light. Mm-hmm. So you're playing against some hungry dudes, so... I mean, I think he got the potential in a few years to be good, but... I mean, right now he's going to have his bumps and his curves, and later he's going to be a really good player.
The one thing different, 1 minute left, they don't play defense. Do they play defense over in Europe?
You have to.
I've heard it's pretty bad, though. They don't preach it there.
In China, there's no defense in China.
But Serbia, they played. In Italy, you think they're going to play defense.
Yeah, they play defense. If you go look at a Chinese box score, it looks like you play NBA 2K on rookie because the score is really high.
I thought that was a thing. They
play defense in Europe. You have to. If you play for Dejan Radonjić, which the Serbian fans will tell you, he make you play defense.
So your defense has stepped up.
Yeah, for sure. Right. I don't save myself for offense anymore.
All right. Charles Jenkins here. He let it all out. Sugarcoated a couple of things. I'm just playing. at the Jenkins Guy 22 on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks a lot for coming in studio. You'll catch the podcast tomorrow. Thanks to Alex Pineda, Alex M. Pineda. For doing social media. Catch it on iTunes, Sports Talk 1240. Go to sportstalk1240.com, tunein.com, search Sports Talk 1240. You'll find it everywhere. Thanks a lot for everyone for listening. I say the Mets don't go to the playoffs, but they come down to the final weekend, and they lose by a game in the final weekend. Everyone have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time. Jake Brown signing out, Sports Talk 1240 on AM 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.